Hey everybody, this is Petey from the Spinner Rack, and we also have
Calvin Ellis, ready to rock.
today we're going to revisit Image Comics yet again, and we're going to try to zero in on the Crash because they have their own view, and a lot of the documentaries on the Crash has been through the Image lens because they're still pretty much hot properties in comic books. So they've outlasted everyone. They've outlasted the stores. So a lot of people don't report that they have a party to it, and they have particular views on who did it. Well, of all people, Jim Valentino blames Superman and the return of Superman as doing it, or a bunch of them do, but indoor killing Superman is the problem. So any initial thoughts before I start playing?
I'm gonna keep my powder dry. Let's see what these guys have to say.
Okay, this is from the Image Revolution coming up.
Title for years and years and years.
My life didn't actually change a huge amount. I didn't go out and buy a fancy new sports car because I can also see this may not last forever.
I remember Rob buying a beautiful red Viper, and it had just come out. And one of the guys who dressed up as Bad Rock had gotten the Bad Rock costume, and he crashed the car. And Rob's just like, no problem. Most people go crazy. There's nothing to this.
They also excluded him slapping one of his people, his teammates. Until we got the Crash. Here we go. We got this nice visual of the Crash. Three videos.
It's easy to run a business and be successful when the business that you're in is taking off. You know, in the 90s, there was a huge comics boom.
It was surging to a level that really hadn't been seen probably since the 50s.
Sales were so good at a certain point, and a lot of people built their lives around
it. Yeah, why would they do that to Jim Valentino?
They created some shock.
Have them gamble.
Nobody thought it would end. I really don't think anybody thought that would end.
It's symbolic.
Because why would you want it to? It's just too much money.
If everybody's sort of honest, it was a big speculator sort of market back then.
Speculators had crashed the trading card market, and then they all came over into the comics market.
They come out one month, and then the next month they're selling for $75.
The value of the comic could double within the first week.
You know, there had been hot comics before, but nothing like this.
People thought that they were going to get rich off of hoarding cases of whatever the new number one was.
I hope this comic book signed one day be worth a lot of money and paid for a college education.
And now they've got, you know, lining for their birdcage.
That bubble was going to burst. It was inevitable. The question was, how big of a pop was it going to be?
It got blown up.
Was it going to be a slow deflation of that bubble? Or was it just going to explode?
I remember walking in to the studio, and Rob was sitting there all dejected. He's like, "Oh man, what's going on? Like, what happened?" He goes, "We got some bad news. We've had our first book fall under 300,000 copies."
A lot of people scrambled. A lot of businesses went under. There's a lot of collateral damage when that market fell down.
In the same way that when we started, we didn't know.
All right, so we go from that one to give you a nice thing because it don't seem like there. There's another video, which was done by Sci-Fi Wire. Too much damage. We get out of this one. But it gives you, some people said they knew. I think some of the people that were below the Image founders.
They knew.
Yeah, that's the thing. The thing of it.
Well, this wasn't hard to do because you had books that were selling like a million copies. Okay, one book selling a million copies, say it was something like Spawn. So all you have to do is have an idea of what, you know, the basic comic readership is, which they usually do. It's like, okay, on any given day, how many comic readers do we have out there? Okay, so we got X amount of readers. How is this book selling a million copies? Oh, because, you know, 250,000 people are buying four or five copies of it.
And they don't also say that Marvel, DC, and Image were all playing to the speculators market. They all were like, hey,
They were.
They need another one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe not. Well, I think Marvel got in on it a little bit after, but Image knew. They knew. They looked at the numbers. They knew that this is the 1990s, and this is pre that boom at the end of the day. And a top-selling book, he just let you know what the numbers were. A top-selling book was maybe like 300,000, you know, 300,000 copies. That would have been a good sale for a book at the end of the day. That's Amazing Spider-Man 300. That might even have been like New Mutants 98. That would have been like a top-selling book. So when he's like, hey, we just had our first book, you know, fall under 300,000, they would love 300,000 today, but that's pretty much where the readership is. So if you're selling a million copies of a book, well, okay. If a top-selling book is selling 300,000, did a million guys come out? No, a million guys didn't come out and buy this. You know, if you got a whole bunch of speculation, or some people bought multiple copies. Yeah. So that's where you're at the end of the day. So they had to. I find it very hard to believe that they didn't know, or they could. I'm putting together this math, okay? And these guys are the professionals at the time. So I'm pretty certain they were able to put that together. It's the same thing with like a book like Alpha Flight number one. You look at the first number one and you look at the sales on it, you're like, wow, this is so much sales. And then you look at number two and the sales all go down because everybody would buy the first issue because they knew that the number one, that's the most important issue. They would tuck it away. This was different where people, you know, this is the number one. So guys are coming out, but with speculation, guys are buying multiple copies. Mm-hmm. You know, hoarding up long boxes of the book or what have you. Give me a long box. Let me get 300 copies, that type of stuff.
Well, the thing that is harder for people, even the Marvel people, to understand is that, I guess, like Alpha Flight is like 600,000. And then it goes to a number that's like a little bit, I don't think it's that close, but under the X-Men, so like number 2 to 5, it's like a top 10 book after that. But it's like looking at the 600,000, you're like, where did those people go? So, okay, so maybe there's people buying three. And then you go to the, you know, you go to Superman or Man of Steel and you get to a million. Then you get to, what's the name? You get to Spider-Man number one by Todd McFarlane, you get to 4 million. Or 3 million, and then you get 4.5 with X Factor. But it's like, at that point, Marvel's like, yeah, let's keep going. And what's the name? Like, they're not getting us for this. We could try to make a million. And they're like, well, we got close to, or Spawn got to a million, we did it. But, it, you know, one of the things, I think the hard part is understanding success. And they had, let's go into something different, but the point you're making pretty strong, which I will continue on that for like days. Let's go back to this other thing. This is the Hit Your Image.
And they were all in on it. Anytime you saw a foil cover, or you know, you saw a foil cover or some enhanced boss cover, something of that nature, they were all selling it, trying to make these regular issues or like, yay, this is the 35th anniversary of the Hulk, so we're gonna come over here and give it this cover, and then, you know, that they were all in on it at the end of the day. Guys were buying it. Guys were buying it. So it was all around. It was the buyers, the people who were speculating, the stores, everybody was in on it. Everybody was in on it. This was not like, hey, DC and Marvel and Image pushed it and they stuck hurt anybody. Everybody was in on it. They were making money hand over fist. And yes, too many people were, Jim, I'm not, you know, calling Jim Valentino out, but a whole bunch of these guys are over there with the bunny like, clackety, clackety. You know, like, hey. Because at the end of the day, it was a big gamble to have all of these back issues of books you were not going to be able to move.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, the thing of these guys outside of Eric Larson are, you know, basically packing it in. They're like, they have talent. They're giving the talent their people that are drawing the books decent money, but obviously they were making enough money where they didn't have to draw anymore. This was their retirement plan. At the same time with the crash, they're still looking at Hollywood. That's the reason why most of them, and for Jim Lee, it was like, you know, well, Rob Liefeld said Jim Lee had a expenditure that was costing them a lot, which was a Gen 13 cartoon. So that kind of put him in a bind. Otherwise, he might have stayed with it And but I know he also wanted to do Marvel or be editor chief in Marvel, but he needed to get, you know, he needed to get out of the struggle that he was having, and he had a lot of overhead. So, but they'd all kind of packed it in. So it's like outside of Eric Larson, and Eric Larson also said like, so that one person decided he wanted to be a movie director, and you know, the Hollywood, just like the Turtles, was around the corner, and a lot of them made these deals, so they all figured. You know, or some of them didn't. Obviously, I'll go to a picture of what's the name of Mark Silvestri. His thing came out. He had his Witchblade came out and was a series that at least one or two seasons, you know, that at least that was out. So you got someone who actually did something where a lot of people got the development money and then were able to do all the things with the money. So here we go. They're going to start talking about the crash. And I think they're going to have the part that I struggle with.
You know, to maybe fund their college education for their kids. Didn't work out that way, unfortunately. But we weren't going to say no.
The problem is, those Golden and Silver Age books are valuable because they're rare. Spawn number one sold 2 million copies. The definition of not rare. So what happened? This false bubble from speculators hoping for easy money soon popped. By 1996, 9 out of 10 comic book stores in America had closed their doors. Sales for the entire comic book industry cratered, and Marvel Comics went bankrupt.
How many years? This like is what, from 92 to 96?
They're saying 92, 96. He made the big jump because Marvel, obviously Marvel didn't go bankrupt until like, until 96. What's the, what did they do? Because in 95 they did, was it 96 they did Heroes Reborn? It happened after Heroes Reborn. So I think Heroes Reborn is 95, and no.
Yeah, so it was Hero Reborn's fault. I knew that.
It's like.
No, because you have Image comes on the scene, 92, and Death of Superman was 93. And so you're saying, you know, the bubble bust about, you know, 96. So you're looking at a 4-year period. So I don't see how they're able to peg this on Death of Superman at 93. And you still have like another 3 years where people are riding. They're really. And the thing is, everybody was buying the books. They were taking the money, but they were spending that money.
Yeah.
You know, they were spending that money at the end of the day because, you know, if it had been like a year, I could understand. You know, they were like, okay, these are pretty good sales. You know, we're pretty comfortable. And then what do? You do all the stuff when you're making more money. You spend more, you expand, and then out of nowhere, you get hit with the brick wall when the stuff starts moving or the guys don't want to buy it or they're not spending any money. And then you're like, well, what, you know, what about my overhead? Can't keep it up anymore.
Yeah. And the with Marvel going bankrupt, like Marvel had successes with Spider-Man and the X-Men and maybe some other stuff, but some of the things that they were doing at the period, because this, what, you know, what was leading to the crash is in the 94, 95, which led them to go to, you know, look at their businesses and say this Marvel deal would be good. So everyone looks at it in reverse, that Marvel going bankrupt and then the Image guys came in to save it. Marvel's at the stage where they're just spending money. They bought Malibu, they did the other thing, and then they do their final Heroes World thing where they try to become their own distributor type of deal. But that is that happens when the real end of it, like what was leading up to it, which was destroying the stores, was really connected. I mean, you're going to start to hear it. I don't think when you hear him talk about it, that's when they bring up the death of Superman, which I'm gonna show in a second that it's not Death of Superman, but you'll hear Jim Valentino say it.
We got blamed for it, but actually it was started by Marvel, you know, back when we were at Marvel. It started there.
Five variant covers.
Yeah, all that kind of, you know, ridiculous stuff. And then DC jumped onto it, killed Superman, for God's sakes, you know, and it's like, we got all the blame, but they're the ones who did it.
The big one that doesn't get thrown into the equation at all was the return of Superman. Nobody gave a rat's ass about the return of Superman. They had 50 years of comic books with Superman in them already.
You know, I think I had a different perspective than they did.
We all do.
I don't understand how it becomes the death of Superman. These guys were selling books hand over fist. They were late with books. They, you know, they knew very, very well, you know, who their readership was. They, you know, very well, there aren't 2 million guys out there all buying one issue of Spawn. They had to know this, and somehow it's the death of, no, it's not just the death of Superman. It's the return of it's the return of Superman too. If he had stayed dead, oh, you know, things would have been so much different. You knew he was coming. You knew he was coming back. And what I will take a bit of umbrage with is that storyline was actually a very well written, very good storyline, which was probably better than anything these Image guys were producing at the time. So I'm not really. If you want to talk about story, that was a good story. That remains a good story. It's still a very good selling story for DC Comics to DC Comics this day. I can't say that about a lot of the stuff they were producing with Image. You just don't want to take any responsibility. We know what kickstarted all of this, and it was you guys.
So that would be the next point that we're going to get to, which is, and I'll just say, the difference between the death of Superman, the difference between X-Men number one and all that is that whether they were speculative books, the books came out and they all the orders were put in and they were received. They weren't kind of, you know, having the cheese on a string to the retailer saying, here, we got this cheese, and then you just yank it and say, nope, it'll be there next month. It'll be next month. That's the thing that's kind of lost. Whether the crash would ultimately happen, and there's things which DC was already kind of doing to kind of, you know, figure this thing out. Marvel, to some extent, less so, because they were kind of playing to buying in, you know, trying to get the quick money with the Image guys. But I want to pause right there, right, before we get to the whole deal. This comic book here, Deathmate, they look at, the history shows that Deathmate, this crossover, was the first sign that it was over.
Deathmate was a compilation by Image Comics and Valiant, and one of the reasons it was marred in controversy. We're going to blame Image for this because, see, Valiant, they got their two books, Yellow and Blue, out on time, October and October. And now this says November and this says September. Red and Black were Image's responsibilities. These did not come out for almost a year.
This is just Jim Lee, Mark Silvestri, Rob Liefeld, and Will Sportacio. Those are kind of big names. Those are also the least reliable guys at Image.
This is 1993. And I think when people criticize 90s comics, I feel like this is your poster child. This is both like the apex and the down start, and just everything that you want to say negative about 90s comics in a way is summed up by Deathmate.
Sales were solid and retailers ordered the Image books accordingly. Then the waiting began. Image managed to get out their epilogue book, and Jim Lee's Deathmate Black did arrive only slightly behind schedule a few months later, which was no small thing in those days, but weeks and then months passed by, and Rob Liefeld's Deathmate Red had yet to materialize.
At that time, with so many speculators leaving and so many casual comic book readers leaving, this impacted the comic book stores, and with the comic book stores now experiencing continuous late shipments, if any kind of shipments, from Image Comics, and Deathmate being hyped as the last, you know, as the biggest crossover event of all time, now you had these comic book stores trying one last time to try to get some kind of a last Hail Mary of sorts where they could make a big sale off of Deathmate. But once again, Image Publishing, who lived up to their standards, essentially shipped late, months late. We're talking up to 4 months late or so on the issues. Fans couldn't care less about those comics afterward. And so when the comics were eventually shipped and nobody bought them, including the notorious Deathmate Red, then that meant that the comic book stores were out that money, because even though they received the issues, they no longer had fans that were interested, and so many, many, many shops closed all during this era right there.
Like, they already knew that things were going down, but this crossover, which is supposed to be a big deal, and ultimately, you know, it became, I think, the Deathmate Black, because it had Gen 13 in it, became a a collector's item for a little while until Gen 13 became nothing. But just want to start that this, to most people, this wasn't selling and or didn't get the numbers that it was expecting. So this was kind of the book. So that's what history remembers, not the Return of Superman. We're going to listen to this. This is connected to ElfQuest. This is a really good video on ElfQuest, if you know that from, was it Wendy and Richard Penny? They had one of the early independent comic books that was rejected by Marvel. And then ultimately, this is a long-standing book. You know, it survived, you know, marital struggles, but it's an early book. And one of the things when we talk about Image is that the Image guys were the first guys to do it. You had ElfQuest. You might have had some stuff before ElfQuest because you had Warp Graphics, that sort of thing that was coming out where creators were creating stuff. You had the Turtles. And the Turtles ultimately is what the Image guys were kind of looking at, saying, if we have ownership, we can basically put our own ownership of our stuff. We can put T-shirts and cartoons and that stuff, toys and that stuff. But ElfQuest is one of the early ones that were doing it right, like publishing their own stuff. And this, they talk about ElfQuest having a resurge in the 90s with this whole big comic book thing, but then they're going to get into the crash, but they succinctly explain what happens in there. So you'll get to see some pictures and hopefully it plays clean, but here we go.
Two popular independent publishers were not shipping comics on time. That maybe shouldn't have been a big deal, but remember that key feature of the direct market that retailers prepaid for non-returnable books? Well, imagine what happens when you, as the retailer, prepay for a ton of copies of a hot new book that is 2 or 3 months late. You're a small shop without a lot of cash, and now you're out all the money you spent while you wait and wait to finally get a product you can sell and make back your investment. But at the same time, demand was cooling off. It was becoming clear to all these speculators that no one was ever going to come along and pay exorbitant prices to make them rich. So when your shop finally gets its huge order of comics in, there's no one around to buy them. Individual comic shops, small businesses, were left holding boxes and boxes of comics that no one was ever going to buy. Stores began to close left and right. As shops closed, small publishers like Warp, who didn't have big marketing budgets, lost their only means to reach their customers. Between shop closings and the bitterness of comic fans who'd been told they were going to strike it rich, sales declined across the industry. Warp fought on, but then the store closings began causing the distributors to die off. This hit Warp even harder because distributors who owed Warp thousands of dollars went bankrupt without paying their bills. But still, Warp fought on.
So that's what I wanted to show, that, you know, if you have, and we have to exclude Marvel and DC because whether they found anyone that could pick up a pencil to draw those books, they got their books out, and they, for other reasons, why more so Marvel, DC only because they fell in line with what Marvel was doing, moving out of the newsstand. But that is succinctly tells you and how they were behaving. And if they would struggle with some distributors, they would just say, that person insulted Jack Kirby. Like they would have these hooks to say what was going on. But if you watched his videos, I think Fan Magazine had a video where they talked to Jim, and they talk about trying to build the trust of the reader again by publishing on time.
I think Image is the year that we come back. I mean, you know, like we regain some of the faith. You know, I think that the kids still like our work, and but I know a lot of retailers are probably angry at us as a whole. And that's primarily because of our shipping difficulties. And at our last big meeting, we laid down some pretty severe rules and punishments for being late, and when we would solicit projects, when we wouldn't solicit projects, how much work had to be done before we'd even say that this project existed, and penalties for screwing that up. So next year you'll either see a lot of books come out in time or a lot of people leaving Image as they get fired and canned. So I'm up there, two owners or whatever, you know. Once we get that under control, we'll shorten the amount of time it takes before a book is declared returnable and things like that. And you know, shorter than even what the distributors have as guidelines. So I think it's a year of mending fences, kind of moving into a period of maturity, really. We
when I broke off, right towards the end of X-Force, I was trying to do Youngblood and X-Force at the same time, and I'd never done that kind of a load doing two monthly books. Yeah, I took some time off because I wasn't ready when Image started up. I actually thought that I could do X-Force and Youngblood monthly and then start a whole bunch of other books. And that crashed on me real fast, the reality of that situation. Things didn't work out the way they should. And I think that right now what I'm doing is I'm taking some time off to structure things. And I think the books are reflecting that. I think right now I'm kind of, I'm in coach mode. You know, I think I do my own stuff. I wake up every morning, I work for a few hours, and I'm getting my stuff done. I'm putting issues in the drawer. You haven't seen anything solicited with my name on it. I don't know when this is going to air, you know, but for right now, it's been about 6 months that I haven't made anything with my name as an artist.
While the comics produced by Homage are regarded as some of the best titles ever made, Lee wants to see more comics on store shelves.
Well, you know, like, I think we were shooting for 4 this year, and we were getting 2 out. Like, I looked at the schedule, we were getting a book out every 2 weeks. So next year, we'll probably shoot for 6 to 8. We'll probably get like 4 to 6 out. There's not enough hours in the day to get this all done. I mean, you walked around here a little bit with me, you can see there's a lot of activity and people are constantly working on things. It's just that so much work goes into putting a comic book together that it's amazing that it can be done in 4 weeks, really.
We're here alone, but yeah, so more pages on computer, and I guess that will end our tour of Extreme because everyone went to lunch, so we're out of here.
Image was like the books that were on time were almost monthly. Spawn was almost monthly. I'm pretty sure it got to monthly with Greg Capullo. And Savage Dragon was also almost monthly. So those are the two that you can look at and say were almost monthly, but they were still missing. And those missing things gives at least the opportunity for other books, where at the same time, in truth, they were soliciting books, and if they wouldn't get the numbers they want, they would yank them. You know, so they would get the numbers, what they buy, and then basically not supply the book, or they find something to give them instead. Here, take this. I got this new other hot book that you can use for that money. And they're just like slapping around at the distributors. And then we lost them before the full crash. So it's like not only the kids are buying, not only the speculators are gone, you're killing the stores, you know, but you're looking at them as money hungry, you know, a-hole. So you're like, well, they're just sitting around here, you know, trashing comic books, trying to pontificate, when that's our job as creators. So we can say how bad they are, but we can't talk about their practice. So that's the hard thing that to me, which I felt was very succinctly said. If you have if Youngblood, you know, there's tons of young, there was 6 issues and it was spread over, I don't know, it felt like 3 years. You know, like of the first 6 issues, maybe less than like 2.5 years. And then I think the next 7 to 10 was a little bit closer to time, but it's like how many other books could have found an audience instead of those books? So that's what I really wanted to do this for. Any other thoughts on your end?
No, I think that's pretty much it in a nutshell with between what you said and what the video was saying. I mean, an Image was playing that cutthroat game because Image was hot. You know, the stores wanted the book, the readers wanted the books, but one of the quickest way to kill a series is if the thing is late. And comic guys usually will be patient, but these guys are months late, half a year late, 8 months late. You know, after a while, the readership moves on. And as someone who sells comics, unfortunately, a lot of that 90s mentality is still there where nobody wants to get fooled again. Nobody wants to be a sucker. They're not going to put out all this money. Oh, I remember I put out all this money for Chromium, man. And, you know, it didn't take off. So now I'm making certain, no, I'll wait. I'll do this. It's just the comic. So a lot of them come in with that mentality where the comic book market, you know, the fundamentals are a lot stronger than it was back in the 90s, to be quite frank. So, but the idea that, I've had to do this too. If I buy a pre-order, well, actually, a better example of with ratio variants, where a store has to buy a certain number of copies. Mm-hmm. They have to buy a certain number of copies in order to get that ratio variant. That would be the equivalent of, okay, I bought 100 copies so I can get this ratio variant, but I know the ratio variant is going to be rare. It's got great cover art. And, you know, I can literally try to make my money back on that. And then the other ones will be my profit. And you tell me the ratio variant is delayed. It's not going to be there for like 6 months. and already put out all this money, and I know I can't make it back on the regular issues. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of the stores were, where I've already put the money out, you're not giving me the stuff. Then, you know, when I do get it, nobody wants it because it waited so long. And then, so where do I go to get my money back? I've lost all this money. And you're in a business where, with comics, you are putting out money first, hoping to make the return back plus some profit at the end of the day. Ugh. But they knew how the game worked. They didn't care.
That's the hard part for me in how how comic books are remembered, because Image guys are still pretty much the lack of a better term, the bullies of the field. They're still looked at as kind of the hot guys, even if their books aren't selling what they were. And kind of looking at them as like, these are the guys who kind of made it. They went independent. They made all these businesses and all these monies and shook hands and did all this other stuff. But, you know, like when you bring up the fact that, you know, they were, by missing deadlines, you know, we also had, my last point would be, and this is not to say anything negative about continuity comic books, because continuity comic books were, it was comic books that Neil Adams were doing, but at the same time, they were, he had a day job. He was an ad agency. So they were putting out comic books, and it was kind of direct sale comic books, but you had, I think, Miss Mystic in Pacific, and then the next issue out is like a year delay till we got that. And then we have the same for the other continuity comics, and we can see there were no huge hits as far as that. Whether they found a way to find an audience, they weren't published as sort of a monthly thing. It was kind of, here's some, and then if you want some stuff like this, you can kind of pick it up. Whereas the Neil Adams clones were successful at Marvel, so, and DC, so it's like, it's a viable thing, but the monthly sort of fix of publishing is important. So you had proof that if you don't have a set schedule that's going to work out, then you're not going to be successful as where you want to go with the comic industry. But Image, at the same time, had the success. They were immediately, let's pack it up. Let's find our other thing. We can't wait till we get to our, everyone tried to get an animation thing. You know, you had the Wildcats and Youngblood have an animation, something or another, which fell apart in the Gen 13. So it's all to do other stuff, and that's why we didn't get books out, you know. And since they were guys that swiped, why not? There's a ton of old comic books of good, you know, layouts that they could have swiped to kind of get through the thing, but it was more like the party and being successful, which is kind of lost when people talk about Image. So that's my last bit is there's proof that you could just do the right way, which is publishing monthly, or you can just do where you're like, hey, the new one's out. It's hot. Do you want it or not?
That's pretty much where they were at. They were after the fast money. They wanted the big, yeah, fast money. I mean, what was the thing? And then the card market was where all the money was.
Yeah.
So, and you saw how they tried to go into that with comics, where they had the cards, some nice artwork by Joe Jesko, I might have to say, but they really, yeah, you know, pushed that. And then the same thing, the cards got the chromium card, all, you know, because they were like, hey, we're going to, you know, push the cards. And they wanted the comic books to sell like cards. They wanted the comic books to be like cards. And today, that still lingers, because a lot of comics are collected like cards. They're just collected, mm-hmm, for the cover. You know, all of the things that they would have done with cards at the end of the day. So, it's amazing. For me, it's amazing that the guys who were in it, you know, seem to forget a whole bunch of the other dynamics, and it then becomes, yeah, well, if they hadn't killed Superman, you know, that's what started it all. The death of Superman right over there. Oh, not, yeah, the return of him. They brought him back, too. If they had just kept him dead, you know, none of this would have ever happened. I was like, oh, I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure. To be quite honest, you know, DC had already had that in the works before. That was number one. And then on Image Comic, I mean, every once in a while, you can say DC will show people how it's done, and then they go back to forgetting how to do it themselves. But what's the response to that? Okay. They had the whole thing with Death of Superman. What is your response to that? And they never dug in to try to go back to the comics and make the comics viable.
Yeah.
Again, they didn't go into that, say, look, okay, let's get some artwork going on. Let's get some storytelling going on. Let's, you know, let's really get to a back to basics thing and see about like really pushing this, because their idea was like, hey, we're going to take the comics, and then with the comics, we're going to like sell the, we're going to sell the properties, you know, for cartoons and movies and that type of stuff. And that's where we're going to actually make the money. They were not looking at the comics in terms of, okay, the comics were a stepping stone to other forms of media and bigger money. And that was a, and that is was an underlying problem. That was an underlying problem with Image Comics, where as much as that was an underlying problem with them initially, that's, I mean, Image Comics, I think, has stayed pretty viable with a lot of properties going to be optioned for stuff, you know, as an indie comic. Probably the, with The Walking Dead and The Umbrella Academy or two that come to mind, you know, but, you know, more successfully than what they were trying to do back at that time with the 90s. And, you know, but that was, but part of the reason why those, I believe those are more successful is because of the success you had with the superhero comics and live action meet and live action media. But yeah, you know, it, hindsight is supposed to be 20/20, but with Image Comics, you still got a, you know, a skewed vision at the end of the day.
Yeah. And only the thing is, a lot of people like to bring up, when you bring up those things of missing books, is saying that, hey, you know, they were a new company. Obviously they were going to miss some deadlines. It's like, oh no, Malibu was already publishing comic books. So if you were putting your time in to put the books out on time, but they were also going to these cons, making a big deal, getting all this energy. So it was, which I think in being, you know, like in doing that, you're away from the board, and not because you're just doing baseball deals. This our first year, you don't have the baseball deals. Maybe you had the toys going on, but that fact of initially, you know, basically putting out a book, looking at the numbers and saying, I got a cushion, let's go to Cabo. And this is the Image guys, not just the people they were paying. It was like, hey, here's Savage Dragon. Savage Dragon, the first three issues, there's a big gap between the three issues, and saying what they could have, what, if they did it at Epic, then they'd be like, come on, guys, you're going to miss another deadline type of deal? That's just crazy. So that's the thing that is lost in saying, when they went to their own company, where they got rid of Malibu and became, Image became an actual entity that was a publisher, then they stubbed their toe again and say, no, no, no. If you learn from what they did, you don't go into the business and say, we're going to start this thing the same way. And that's the thing where you can't, you, we already gave you that with Malibu. How are we going to have the same issue worse when you go on your own? Where it's like, we, they never had a plan. They're just like, why are we paying? We're getting 75% of the, or whatever, maybe it was 50 to 75% of the profits of the comic book. And we had to give kick back to what's the name? What if we kept all of it? Like, what if we kept all of it for the Image partners? We get 90%. We give 10% to the company, and for our people who come in after, they get 80%, and then 20% gets sent to the company. It's like, that's, you can't keep giving people the benefit of the doubt when they keep messing up, and then say, well, we stubbed our toe when we did our own made it our own company. Then you weren't ready to go as a separate publisher. That's, you don't immediately do it. You just say, I don't want to pay these guys no more. That 25% is too much. We're partners. They don't deserve anything. We're making these guys rich. And the same thing they said about the writers. We're making these writers rich. All they do is say, hey, draw a crowd. And then they say, I got to do all the work. Just get rid of these guys. Oh, the writing is bad. Yeah. But Todd McFarlane was the one who was selling them. You're wasting your time with these writers, Peter David and these David Michelinie. Like, they're taking all the money and they just write these six-page plots. We got to do 22 pages. So that's my thing, because everyone likes to bring up that stuff and it's not really related. So I want to thank you for doing this with me, and we're going to get out of here. Spinnerack.
We're out.
Out.